Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, night after night, they kept hearing their young son come into their bedroom. Footsteps, movement, even the sound of his pacifier. The only problem, every time they checked, he was still asleep in his bed.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah, 855-853-4802. Share your real ghost stories with us. Press subscribe wherever you are listening or watching. Thank you for doing that. The idea of a it seems like a zombie ghost child coming up with a pacifier. Why are you still doing a pacifier if you're walking around? I mean, that seems even creepier. That, like, I don't know. That's
some kids do that. It's like their nighttime thing. That's the last, you know, they... Like, it kind of soothes them when they fall asleep. So some kids do that for
still
a while.
I remember, like, there used to be the candies. Like, the Ring Pops were kind of like pacifiers. I always thought that. But I just this idea of hearing that anytime there's, like, the ghost children wandering around the house, I don't know what I'd make of that if you're hearing that night after night and your kids, it's not your kid.
All I can think of is Maggie Simpson with her little pacifier when she goes,
that's
like that, right?
Yeah. You're just hearing that kind of moving around your house. That would be, that's unsettling.
We've talked before about what would you do if you lived in a haunted house. Carol, you've lived in one. I think I've had experiences in one of my houses. I think if I was haunted by a child ghost, I think I'd have to get the hell out. Because that would be too spooky for me. That would be too spooky. Even if they were like friendly or whatever, I don't think I could handle that.
Because I don't want a child ghost, because it could be a demon that's pretending to be a child.
Is it really
a
child?
What if it's just a child ghost?
But what if it's not?
But what about all the child ghosts that are child ghosts and they're getting labeled demons?
Exactly. That's okay. You're right. I'm being judgy. But
how many child ghosts just started out as good child ghosts and then they keep getting called demons and eventually they're like, well, fuck it. I'm going to turn into a demon.
You say so many times. But then you got the two sides. It could be a demon. It could be a child. If it was a child ghost, I think I would be sad all the time.
Yeah.
I think
but what if they were happy that you were there? And you were hanging out with them and you're like, fucking demon, creepy.
I'll roll the ball for you again.
We had way back at the start of this show, there was a guy that would write in about a little ghost girl. I think its name was Sarah. And he had like detailed stories about the interactions that he believed he was having with this little ghost girl. It got like really deep and almost like creepy, and a different level of creepy. It was weird.
He stopped writing in because it wasn't actually a child. It was a demon and it took over his body. And
the letters did stop at a certain time. Yep. So I think he called too quite a bit, if I remember right. It's on the archives, like way the hell back, but yeah. That was an interesting one. Let's go to a phone call on the ghost hotline at 855-853-4802. Hi.
It sounds so big, the ghost hotline.
The ghost hotline.
Hey, guys. This is Paul from Wisconsin. I just started listening to your show about a week ago. I drive trucks, so I've ended up listening to quite a few episodes while I've been driving. But I thought I would share my little experience. I don't know if it qualifies as a ghost story necessarily, but it definitely falls into the paranormal category. I'll let you guys decide. I'll be interested to hear what you think. I've got two boys, at the time, they were at the ages of 3 and 5. The younger one was Alex. He's the one we're going to be focusing on. They went to the streak for a while there where they would wake up in the middle of the night and they had no concept of time. They didn't know that, hey, it's dark outside. Maybe I should go back to sleep. Their first thought was, hey, let's go get mom and dad up and get breakfast. And so they'd fallen into this habit of on almost a nightly basis, waking up at like 2, 3 in the morning and running into our room, and we'd have to put them back into bed. It had kind of become a common thing. Alex, since he was 3, he was still attached to his pacifier. He's still in his diapers, barely talking. But he was usually the one who was most apt to get up. So I'm a really sound sleeper. And so there were a few nights where I would just come to the surface enough to hear my wife saying, Alex, it's not time to get up yet. You need to go back to bed. And then there would be this pause and she'd just lay back down. She didn't really say anything. And, you know, in the morning she'd say, you know, I keep hearing Alex, but there's nothing there. And I put it off to, well, you know, middle of the night, you hear things or see things because you're tired. I've had that happen to me. So that's what I wrote it off as. One night, I woke up and I heard little feet coming into our room, and I could tell by the footfall, the weight behind the footfall, that it was very likely Alex. I could hear his pajama pants brushing against each other, you know, the legs of the pajama pants brushing against each other as his legs moved. And I could hear him sucking on his pacifier. The sound came right up to my side of the bed. And so I didn't even sit up, barely opened my eyes. I just said, Alex, go back to bed, okay? It's not time to get up yet. And I heard the footsteps turn around, walk out the door. And at the time, we lived in a trailer home, so our bedroom was at the far end, back end of the trailer, and there was a little hallway that ran crossways across the trailer where we had the clothes washer and clothes dryer, and then it went out into the kitchen, and all of that floor was like a laminate hardwood floor. And so I heard him walk out of our room. I heard his footsteps go through that hallway into the kitchen, and like halfway through the kitchen and stop. There was nothing. And I thought, I wonder if he's gonna get into something, or maybe he got confused in the dark. I didn't know. I got myself out of bed and I went out there, turned on the light. There was nothing. And so I went through the house looking for him, nothing. I finally got to the boys' room. So I opened up the door, left the hallway light on so I could see. Alex was in bed and he was sound asleep. His mouth was open. He was drooling on his pillow. He'd been there for quite some time. He hadn't moved. So I went back to bed. My wife said, "He's in bed?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's what's been happening to me." A few nights later, a similar thing happened. I heard him come up to the bedroom door, and without even thinking that it might be this weird occurrence, I said, Alex, not time to get up. You got to go back to bed. There was nothing. And so I got up, went out there, and sure enough, he wasn't there. And I went ahead and checked his bed, and sure enough, he was sound asleep. So this kind of happened on and off for a while, and we were kind of getting weirded out. Finally, one night, my wife went to a meeting. She came back somewhere around 10 at night. I was at home with the kids. And she came through the door, and she was like, she couldn't get in the door fast enough. She slammed the door, locked it, and she came up to me, gave me a big hug. She said, I am freaked out right now. I said, well, what's going on? She said, I was on my way home, and as soon as I got in the car and started rolling, I heard Alex in his car seat right behind me, paging through a book and sucking on his pacifier. She said, it was real. It was so real. She said, I didn't want to look back there. And it kept on the whole time I was driving home. She probably had like a 10-minute drive home. And she was so scared. She didn't want to look back there. She got out of the van, slammed the door, and got into the house as fast as she could. And she said, it was Alex. I know that sound. It was Alex. It was his beat. It was his pacifier. I know it was him. So there were those weird instances. Then we noticed that Alex was very, he had a great deal of empathy toward people. It was like he could feel what other people were feeling. One time he went to a funeral with us. It was for a relative of a friend of ours, so it wasn't somebody we necessarily knew all that well. And so we were sitting there in the funeral, and Alex just started crying. And it wasn't a bawling, loud cry. It was just tears were coming down, and he just cuddled into, I think my wife was holding him. He just cuddled into her, and he didn't stop until we left. He just felt, it was like he felt the overall sadness in the atmosphere at this funeral, and it was affecting him that much. He was feeling what everybody else was feeling. And then there was another case where Alex was playing inside, and I was outside with our youngest, and she tripped and fell and hit her head on some concrete, and it wasn't anything major. She had a little bit of an egg on her head, and so I'm comforting her, and then Alex comes running out of the house holding his head and crying. His hand was exactly on his forehead, right where his sister had bumped her head. There were some very strange cases that went on during the time we were in this house. We moved to another house about 15 minutes away about 8 months ago, and there was like one case where we thought we heard Alex come into our room. After that, that was it. It was like there's something about that house that really brought out that feature of our son. So I don't know. I'm interested to hear what you guys think. We haven't had any more incidents like that since, but it certainly is intriguing to me, and I just like to hear what you guys think. So great show. I'm going to keep listening to it, and you guys take care. Bye.
So what
thoughts?
Because at the beginning he says, I don't know if this is paranormal or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they're seeing their kid. They're hearing him walk around at night. It's obviously their little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's sound asleep in bed. So if that's not paranormal, what would it be?
Yeah.
You know, and he's experiencing it. His wife is experiencing it to the point she heard the kid in the car. So what causes that?
Mm-hmm.
Something pretending to be their child.
Or, because it does sound like he's got somewhat strong empath abilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it his energy?
Yeah.
That's roaming the house or sitting in the back seat? I mean,
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Is he astral projecting or whatever that would be
right.
called? I don't know.
Right.
Where, in his dreams, when he's dreaming, as he's dreaming, he's wandering around the house like that. And is that somehow then actually translating into the happening? I don't know. I mean, that's that because we've heard stories like that, too, where like people, it's not always a dead person. It's like the living seemingly can be ghosts, too, or at least their energy can, or in unconscious or some version of conscious version of them can. I don't know. It's an interesting. Interesting. We've heard it from adults, you know, who've recounted it, but it's interesting for a child to have that going on. But it would make sense. I mean, just unregulated energy and, you know, kids, they say, you know, can see things and hear things more and are more sensitive to a lot of things. I would almost guess that if that is something we can do, if it's some sort of ability that we have or thing that we can sense or put out there, that would be the time where before you've been told or, you know, to hone it in or you don't even know how to do it, it would be a time where that might be going on. I don't know.
Would that creep you out about your child, though? Like, what? So you're a father, Tony. If when Harper was much younger, if you were having experiences like this, would it creep you out a little bit about your child?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I wouldn't know for sure if it is, you know, that innocent explanation. It's just my child astral projecting like all kids do. You know, if that were it, I would be like, if I knew that were it, it would creep me. I'd be very curious about it. The thing is, I wouldn't know. And that would be the part that would creep me out is like, is this that or is this something mimicking her. And I think we hear more stories about that than we actually have of the other. And I'd be more concerned of, like, is this thing interacting with her? You know, that would be my concern of all that. And then it turns out it's just her. You know, she's summoning demons and
messing with you like she messed with Carol when Carol came to town that time, singing outside her door. Remember that?
She swears to God she didn't do that.
Who did it? It was your child.
It wasn't me. I know that much.
It didn't sound like you. You were hitting some pretty good notes because it was definitely higher.
Yeah.
Well, you could have just set a speaker out by the door.
Or Harper could have. I don't know. I don't know. She still swears it wasn't her, but I don't know. I don't know that I believe her. but that's what she said.
Actually, yeah, said it was not her singing outside my door three times.
Yeah.
And she's like, but why would I do that, Carol? And I go to mess with me.
It's
worse. But she's like, how old was she at the time? 10, 11, and she's like, I'm a 10-year-old. I like to sleep. Why would I have done that?
Which is also a true statement. When she goes to bed, she's a kid that goes to bed. And I never had issues with her, like, you know, trying to stay up later, sneak out. She's like, she's good. She likes her sleep.
And I couldn't argue that with her because she did have a point.
Yeah. I don't know. I never had anything weird in that house. That house was not that old. It was probably less than 10 years old at that moment.
Probably built on some Civil War tiny battlefield.
You got that going on for it because there is a very large battlefield very close to there that had a lot of casualties in it. It's along a river area. It was someone's, like, very large property for a while. The land adjacent to it, towards the river, there is supposedly a graveyard in the woods over there, unmarked, that would have been the help of the whatever it was, owner of the land that many years ago. So, I mean, you got the possibility and you got the Civil War that took place right there. So, yeah, I mean, you got some fertile ground.
Maybe it was some weird mourning woman. You know, she was like, oh, I'm so sad.
The woman that get up in the morning and serenade the soldiers before battle.
If that's what she was doing, she needed to learn a different song.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really a song. It was just like, oh, just weird musical notes.
Or it was Harper fucking with you.
Exactly. Or you.
Yeah.
It was not me. If it was me, I would. I don't keep secrets like that. I own up to it. I would have told you the next day, you know. But
you're not that good of an actor. Because even the next day when I told you, you were like, what are you talking about? Your daughter messing with me last night.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised because usually she'd be like, you know what I did? You know, that's kind of why I'm like, I don't know, because she'd usually like want to take credit for that sort of shit, you know?
And she still, what is it, 3 years later, she still hasn't taken credit for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless she's just really good at planning shit out. And somewhere down the line, Carol, like,
long game. There's something.
It's part of a longer joke or something. Or she's going to turn into a really successful serial killer.
Well, perhaps that's it.
She's practicing. She's practicing holding in the secrets.
Like, going to be a singing serial killer.
I was just going to say the serial singer. Yeah.
There we go. That's a new reality show right there. Serial killers that sing. And you bring out serial killers and they compete for freedom.
Ooh.
Compete for freedom. And then they can go to the town of their choice.
Oh, of their choice.
As the prize.
The town of their choice. There are two that will accept you. So which one do you choose?
Rex Heuermann, where are you going back to? I'm going to Gilgo Beach. It's like,
no, you're not. You're like, going to Rexford, Kansas.
Yo, surprise. I don't think he'd be much of a singer, though. Who knows? I mean, you might be surprised. Let's go to another phone call. Do we have another phone call here?
Yeah.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Marwin from Southern California. I've been listening to your show for probably about a month now, and I got my coworker into it. Also, I'm just going to give you a couple of stories that my coworker gave me, personal stories. This is from her childhood home where she grew up. And one of them was that one day her older brother was taking a shower. And while he was in the shower, he realized that he had forgotten his towel. So he hollered out to his mom so she could bring him a towel. And he was taking a shower. And while he was taking a shower, someone kind of threw the towel, you know, over the railing for the curtain. So, you know, that was great. He got his towel. And my friend says that her brother got that the kind of like a inkling feeling, like an urge to kind of peep out to see who had given him the towel. So when he looked out through the curtain, he saw his mom with her back facing towards him. But when you look down, her feet were actually backwards. So if you can imagine, her feet were pointing towards him, but the upper part of her torso was facing outwards towards the door. And that freaked him out. And then I guess you could say his mom or whatever it was kind of walked out of the restroom. And at that point, he really freaked out. He hollered out. His mom walks in. He tells his mom, "Hey, mom. Did you bring me the towel right now?" And his mom looks at him like he's crazy and tells him, like, "No, you're crazy. I haven't brought you anything." So that's one story. That's definitely, if that would have happened to me, I would have definitely gotten a heart attack. And then the second story is at that same house, but this one involves her father. So her father and my coworker's little sister and her father were watching TV one day in the living room, and you know, it was late. It was about 2 a.m. So her sister was knocked out, and her father, you know, decided to call it a night. So, you know, he turned off the TV. He picked up my coworker's sister and walked her to her room, opened the door to the room, and laid her in bed, and then proceeded to walk out. Well, when he walked out, as soon as he closed the door, he kind of heard a cry from the living room. So he went to the living room, and when he went in the living room, you won't believe this, but my coworker's sister was actually there in the living room. He didn't know what kind of being or what he had carried from the living room to the room, but he didn't care to investigate. My coworker told me that night he got all the family and they spent the night at a motel. So that is actually pretty interesting. So, you know, you think you're carrying your daughter to her room, you walk out, and then only to realize that your daughter is still in the living room. So it's kind of funny. Whatever he carried, that's kind of weird, because if it's something paranormal, which I'm assuming it is, I mean, I don't know how often you guys have a story where, you know, someone physically feels or carries something, you know, but at least, you know, he didn't see anything weird with her or notice anything funny about her. He just kind of realized it wasn't her as soon as he went to the living room and his daughter was still in there. All right, guys, have a good one. And I really like your show, and I'll probably call in more with more stories. And, you know, I hope you use my story.
That would freak me out.
Yeah, I'd be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. What did I just carry and put in bed? So I'm assuming he thought he carried the kid to bed and then went back. She's still out there. He had to have gone back to look. The bed had to have been empty, I'm going to guess.
Or you just put your kid, like, go in that room and don't come out. I don't know what's in there, but you go tell me, honey.
His first story about the mom and the backward feet. I've heard that so many times in paranormal stories. I actually had to look it up. Feet? Yeah. And it's a worldwide phenomenon where people say they experience entities that look like people they know, mm-hmm. but their feet are backwards and they walk in a different direction.
So could that be like the whole Black Eyed Kids thing? Because I kind of think Black Eyed Kids maybe are aliens and they're trying to get it right, but they're just not. They're like, I want to use your phone, and they just don't quite get it right. Mm-hmm. So they come in to be like, we're going to take on, like, we're going to pretend to be his mom, but whoops, we got the feet wrong. We don't pay attention to
it. It's kind of like when AI messes up and gives people like six or seven fingers, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like, yes, very much like that.
Yeah, it is kind of like that.
Interesting. I never thought of that. Maybe
it's alien intelligence. It is AI.
You know, it's interesting with AI, because I always thought of this since it's you know, been going on for the last couple of years. And really the video AI stuff, you know, available publicly is only within the last, honestly, like 6 months or so,
right,
of being like good and somewhat readily commercially available. But I always thought, like, in the early models of it, it very much resembled a dream. Like, if you gave it a command, because it would be like, it looks real, but there'd be weirdness to it, you know? Yeah. And, but it would be very similar to like how my dreams would be too, where it's like, oh, this seems, no. And then eventually like, what the fuck? Like, this is weird. But just how things can transition like that. And it's like, okay, there's an AI model called Dream Machine that I used for some things a while back. And it was like, that's a great way of describing it. Because it really is, and it's interesting to me how the computers that it's projecting things that way. They're getting better, but they are still somewhat dreamy, and how they operate and how this AI operates, because it really mimics humanity pretty well in a lot of real creepy ways. Some of it makes no sense. It's like, why did you skip that? Oh, sorry, being lazy. Like, the fuck are you being? You're a computer, you know? It's just, it's weird. It tries to find shortcuts to things, and it's not usually super successful at it. It'll get better. I mean, this is its infantile stages, and it's still far faster and smarter than most people. But the I guess autonomy of it is what's creepy. And how it comes up with what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your creepy thought of the day.
We got this far. We got three episodes in before you creeped me out for the day. So,
and Carol's cuddling the dog at this point, and
right, because I need security.
Here's how the world will end, according to Tony. Every day, I give a new message about how the world. I could be a cult leader. Holy shit!
Oh, that would be God.
That totally is, it's like church.
Tony, you would be so good at that.
I probably really could be if I tried.
You're convincing, you're charming, all of the things.
I just got to start a cult.
Tell good anecdotes.
Hey, if the shit ever hits the fan and it's like, you got to kind of like figure out, like, you know, Wild West style, Walking Dead style, I will be the most convincing fucking preacher, cult leader, whatever. You
know? He's got it figured out already.
Like, if I have to like play the role to survive, I'll fucking do it. And I'll do it.
Take me away, because I don't want any part of that. I remember years ago, I dated this guy. Well, the warlock guy was kind of like that. Then there was another guy who was like all about, he wanted to like build an underground bunker and store food in it and stuff. And I'm like, my God.
A lot of people do that shit.
Oh, no. Like, you and me in an underground bunker?
Oh, God. And you're in Kansas. There's plenty of them that are for sale.
There's nobody I would want to be stuck in an underground bunker with forever. Just, hell no.
I feel like there should be another podcast where it's just stories about Carol and her exes.
I do too.
I've got one for every occasion. I've got an ex-boyfriend story to fit anything. Throw out a topic, I'll tell you a story.
It's true.
That's sad.
Scientology.
Trying to think if I dated a Scientologist. I did not, but I went on a blind date with a guy once. mm-hmm. who was into some weird shit.
Okay.
Yeah. It was very strange. And I'm like, no. And then
there's a little Scientology sect there in Wichita.
Yeah. Well, Kirstie Alley lived here.
Yeah.
She lived right next door to the Scientology Center. Mm-hmm. And just the other day we drove by and I asked my friend James, what are they going to do with Kirstie Alley's house? It's just mm-hmm. been sitting there now for a few years.
Yeah.
And she actually bought two houses next to each other because mm-hmm. she wanted a bigger kitchen. So the whole first floor of the second house is a kitchen.
Oh, my God.
They're connected by a walkway, like a covered walkway.
Wow. But
I think she gave them to the Scientologists, both the houses. I didn't date her.
You know. But now, our friend.
That would be a podcast. That would be a cop. Me and Kirstie. Yeah.
Our friend Manny ended up being friends with her for a little bit. He would send me pictures of the texts between them because she would come in and need to record some stuff. So she'd go over to the station and she just kind of called him when she needed to go to a studio.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like right up until she died. Like
she would be at the grocery store. Like people would see her just around town at the theater, or she just kind of, she had lived here, I think. Her whole life before.
Yeah, I think she grew up there, didn't she?
Graduated from here, yeah.
It's weird because I watch Cheers all the time and I think of that. It's just funny. It's like, there's Rebecca Howe. You know, it's life is weird. But yeah. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff, check us out. Apple Podcasts. There's a premium channel there. There's also one over on Patreon. Search Real Ghost Stories Online. And most importantly, hit subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.